Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
I say howdy do. This is the White Trash Revival. We are at episode 50, the half century mark. Yes, sir. I'm your host, Donnie fucking Cash. We opened up the show with little JB Beverly and the Wayward Drifters with Raining in Philly. I hope you enjoyed that, because I am a fan of Mr. Beverly. Yes, I am. All right, folks, last week I told you we was going to do an interview with Reverend Deadeye, and we was going to feature a new person to the White Trash Revival, Karen, the White Trash Debutante, but the audio she sent me with their interview was no good. Too much background noise, and it could not be used. So we will still have an interview with Reverend Deadeye, and it will be done by none other than myself. I know what you're thinking. Great. You're a fucking douchebag. That's all right. This douchebag brings you good music. And that's what it's all about. It's not about me, folks. It's about the good music and them kind-hearted artists out there that I do enjoy. So, you can kiss my ass. Yes, sir. And you can grab the right butt cheek and then the left butt cheek and then pull it apart and gently insert your tongue. Don't worry, folks. I will return the favor. I'm a freak like that. I am cordial with the reach around. Let's get in this first set, shall we? Oh, Papa, your hands are so soft.
Name. Kids don't want to talk to you. You have to eat a lot of meals by yourself. Trust me, kid, nobody wants to be that guy.
Hello. For years and years I rambled, I drank my wine and gambled, but one day I thought I would settle down. I met a perfect lady, she said she'd be my baby. We built a cottage in the old hometown, but somehow I can't forget my good old rambling ways. The railroad trains are calling me away. I may be tough, I may be wild, I may be rough, but that's just my style. I can't give up my good old rough and rowdy way. My good old rambling ways. The railroad trains are calling me away. I may be tough, I may be wild, I may be rough, but that's just my style. I can't give up my good old rough and rowdy ways.
In the high cold wind on a trail of the old lonesome pine,
thinking of you, feeling so blue, wondering why I left you behind. Well, get down, boys, go back home, back to the girl you love, and treat her right and never wrong, how mountain girls can love. I remember the night we strolled down the lane, our hearts were gay and happy then. I held you close and you whispered to me, we hoped that night would never end. Well, get down, boys, go back home, back to the girl you love, and treat her right and never wrong, how mountain girls can love. To the girl you love, and treat her right and never wrong, how mountain girls can love. Oh, how mountain girls can love.
All right, sinners, we'll start off this set with a one-man band. Dude goes by the name of C.W. Ione with a song called Leaving Home. That kind-hearted gentleman sent me a couple CDs, and I do appreciate it. And I do plan on playing more of his music in the future. Very good one-man band. I am very impressed. Thank you kindly, good sir. Following him was a little classic, little Lefty Frizzell with My Rough and Rowdy Ways. And ending this set was a band, a little bluegrass band called Town Branch Bluegrass with How Mountain Girls Can Love. Well, I'll tell you how the fuck they can love. They're trapped up on that mountain and they ain't got nothing else to do. But I'm sorry for talking dirty, because Town Branch Bluegrass, if I'm not mistaken, is a Christian band, and you know, I'm myself and a sinner, which you cannot hate me for, because I keep it real. Keeping it real, yo. I think it's a Colt 45 coming out. Anyways, how about we go ahead and get another set, shall we? We shall? Okay, so here yins go. I do hope you enjoy it. Yes, sir, I do.
I should be talking about, Phil? Not a fucking clue. I have a shell the size of a fist in my head. Pork chop here. The only way I can get this goddamn tube to stay on is by magnetizing the entire upper left quadrant of my skull. So you just go ahead and do what you do. You have any soup?
Sunday morning, I looked at the ladies and I searched for the Lord. But Saturdays can tempt a man, so I don't go no more. Those drunken nights always last too long. Johnny Cash once punched me in the eye, told me you need Jesus, son, before you die, or you're gonna sit around and cry, cry, cry. Looking back, he was probably right. The blues of a country man who only yearns for you and stars above the open land. I love you, darling, now take my hand and let's ride. 8 long years in a honky-tonk band, I never even had a one-night stand. I've only loved you, darling, now please understand and save me from these blues of a say. Now they're all gonna say he stopped loving her today, at my funeral which is coming up real soon. Welcome to the blues of a country man who only yearns for you and stars above the open land. I love you, darling, now take my hand and let's ride. 8 long years in a save me from these blues of a country man. Yeah, save me from these blues of a country man.
Crap, oh, am I kidding? My looks are going down the toilet faster than an unwanted pregnancy on prom night.
There she was. Seventh child. I said, excuse me, baby. You spent some time. I said, that's all right. I know you got a job and everything. Why don't you put something on the table? Excuse your elbow. Well, I'm going over to my baby's house. I'm going to knock right up on the door. She said, sorry now, oh, Willie boy. Sure enough, got to go. Sure enough, just got to go. baby's house. I'm gonna knock right up on the door. She said, sorry now, Willie boy. Sure enough, got to go. Sure enough, just can't stay. Sure enough, just can't stay. Sure enough, just can't stay.
All right, folks. Starting off this set was the Calamity Cubes with Can't Win for Losing. And, you know, that's exactly the way I feel. You know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck. That's just the way it is with me. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. That's the way it's always been. I was doomed from motherfucking birth. Thanks, Mom. And I'd like to thank the Calamity Cubes for getting me a CD. Appreciate it. Following Calamity Cubes was Bill Cardinal with Countryman Blues. And ending this set was Javier and the Innocent Sons with Just Can't Stay. I hope you enjoyed that tune from Javier. Yes, sir. Thank you kindly. And, fuck. Before we get an interview with Reverend Deadeye, let's go ahead and get into a tune by the Hitchers, and it's called Berwick Hills 90210. Enjoy.
Another Northeast drive through a forgotten town, a bruise in a bottle tonight. And I creep, creep, creep around a gypsy jeep in my car.
Take a look, you've gone too far. Whoa,
whoa. Where a light's out, don't come knocking.
Whoa, whoa.
But I drift, me and Lady Luck, I tried to the assholes in a motorway. Fuck, she went drip, drip, drip. I'm a lip, 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 whoa.
Hey, whoa, hey,
listen, this here is R.D. Mercer. You in charge of keeping up that cemetery down there?
Yeah, you bet.
Well, listen, I got you the fella that I'm getting ready to get sideways of. I'm down here visiting my cousins. I'm from Ardmore. I'm down here visiting my cousins. They was telling me that the last time they was out there at the graveyard, that the boys that was taking care and the maintenance over there was well, what they was doing was taking a leak on my Uncle Jesse's grave out there. That's being disrespectful. And I don't appreciate it. None.
Well, I find that very hard to believe.
They said they seen you out there doing it. You and some of you fellas that's working on that thing out there, taking a leak.
Whatever that was, they lied to you.
No, they didn't lie to me a bit. I guarantee you they ain't. There's church-going women, and they seen you out there. They was putting pansies on their relatives' graves, and they seen it happening.
And who was it?
They said it was you and some fellas out there you had working for you was drinking beer and telling loud, nasty jokes and dancing around, and then they're taking a whiz out there.
What's your name, sir?
R.D. By God Mercer. And Uncle Jesse Mercer, he's a World War I hero. He's the northeast corner of that cemetery. The headstone's got a collie dog on the top of it.
And that's your Long Cemetery?
Damn right, in the northeast corner over there.
Who was that that said they saw that?
That's the Inez Roundtree. Now, Uncle Jesse was a World War I hero down there. Well, he was in charge of the collie dog.
Inez Roundtree lives here in Cordell?
Huh?
This Inez Roundtree lives here in Cordell?
Lives outside of town on the highway.
Okay.
And he's liberated a French village of Voulage de Loup down there in World War
One. Phone book, is she?
What?
She's listed in the phone book?
I don't know. It don't make a damn bit of difference. There's somebody down there.
Cemetery Jack speaking.
How'd you like a country ass whooping?
Why don't you just come on out and we'll talk about it?
I guarantee you, it ain't nobody going to take a leak on my great Uncle Jesse's grave and then hang up on me.
That hasn't happened, sir.
I guarantee you.
That has not happened.
Well, she's saying it.
That has not happened. Can you hear me?
How big an old boy
are you? That has not happened.
Where are you at right
now? That has not happened.
I guarantee you, I'm getting ready to plant somebody back 6 foot under. I got me a pine box full of ass whoop. I'm getting ready to.
Well, you just bring it on out here.
I guarantee you, I'll cart it right
here. Bring it on out here.
How long are you going to be there?
I'll live here.
You live there?
That's right. I'll live here.
Well, you're going to be about 6 feet below where you're at right now.
There's no beer drinking going on, and there's never been any graves spun for the 2 years I've been here.
Well, you.
And anybody that says ain't different's nothing but a damn lie.
Well, I guarantee how big an old boy are you, don't you?
Jack speaking.
Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come by there this afternoon. Are you down there all day?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Well, I'm coming down there today, and I'm getting ready to take care of this one way or the other.
Whatever you say.
Well, I got that uncle down there. He's buried with his collie dog, Roosevelt, down there, and you've been whizzing on his grave.
What's his name?
My uncle's name, great uncle, Jesse Mercer.
Jesse Mercer.
Jesse Mercer.
M-R-C-E-R.
That's right. And I was getting ready. How big an old boy are you?
Big enough to take care of this, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, we'll see when you get here.
Yeah.
You got the balls to show up.
Well, I don't. Listen, I decided I'd call a buddy of mine. I think I'm going to stop by and pick him up on my way out there. He owns a music store down there in Waterford, and I'm going to pick him up and come down there with him. I'm going to be picking Harold up, and I'm coming down there, and there's going to be a tag team event.
All right, folks, with me on the phone, I have the Reverend Deadeye. How are you doing, Reverend?
I'm doing all right.
Awesome. What kind of Reverend are you, kind sir?
I'm ordained by myself.
Hell yeah. I'm an ordained sinner myself.
Well, I try to stay out of sin as much as I can.
Yeah, but it's so hard and it's so daggone fun. So tell me, how long have you been doing music?
I've been playing music, performing. Since I was just a kid, but I started playing the piano when I was about 6 years old.
All right, and you come from very religious background, I take it?
Yeah, my parents were Pentecostal missionaries on the Navajo Reservation.
Now, when I was a kid, my mom used to make me go to a Pentecostal church also. And I think that's why I didn't really get into it, because she forced me to go. And when I got there, the people there slightly scared me, talking in tongues and jumping up and running around the church. I mean, it really freaked me out.
See, that's exactly what I loved about it. And, I certainly was forced to go as well, just being a child and in my parents' home, you know. They weren't going to leave me at home on Sundays. But, they were holy rollers. And out on the reservation, even more rough and rowdy. Musically speaking, probably more on the res than in church, but, it got pretty rowdy out there.
When did you start doing this one-man band thing and traveling the United States?
Well, my first tour that I did, I think, was 2003. I started a couple years before that, started playing as Reverend, then I started traveling about 7-8 years ago.
And how'd your parents feel about that, being strict Pentecostals? Shows. Are you still into the Bible and stuff like that?
I have a fair amount of interest in the Bible and things of a religious nature. I've always been more interested in an academic sense. You know, obviously, I love the energy like that you were just talking about. I love that energy.
As I became older, like 3 years ago, we got into Southern Baptist, and they're not too far from Pentecostal. They can get loose and get wild.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time going there, I felt something, like the preacher talking, telling somebody to come up and get saved and all that, and I felt something. And it seems like after going there for about a year that I've kind of lost my faith, and I've got numerous questions, and I don't know what the deal is, man. It seems like now I'm borderline agnostic, maybe. I don't quite know. How does one get their faith back?
I think the faith, the problem with churches are they're just people, you know, and they, you know, it's a social club. You go there and you feel good because there's a certain amount of positive energy. callers, and it's not. I mean, they're just people, just like anyone else. And that's nature of being a human. Is you know, all those things that it says in Romans not to do.
Yeah, because like, you know, going to church, I start seeing people's true colors. I start seeing who the pastor's favorite people are, how some of the people there are real hypocrites, and, you know, it's just being positiveness at the church, there is a lot of negativity also.
Right. And, I mean, if you can get past that, then, you know, people stay with churches for a long time. But, I mean, in my experience with churches, you know, they split apart and form splinter cell churches all the time. You know, like, it's the nature of those churches. I mean, some of these, like, mega churches, I don't know how they do it, staying together like that, but so many of the churches I ever went to or knew about, they just always stayed small, and if they started to get too big, it'd be too much, and they would end up splitting up.
Yeah.
Churches go with one person and half would go with the other, just mostly out of arguments, you know, theological arguments or any kind of argument, really.
Yeah, and these, another thing, these televangelists really upset me when they got all these expensive cars and private jets and all this, and a funny thing happened a couple weeks ago down here in Ohio. There's like a televangelist in Middletown, Ohio. I do believe it's a lady that runs this church, and they got this great big Jesus they had in the front.
Yeah, I heard about that.
A lot of the folks called him Touchdown Jesus, and lightning struck it, and it caught on fire, and that's pretty...
Two little poles now sticking up with him.
Yeah, it's pretty funny how it's like God sent a message like, you need to calm down and preach the word, not worry about the money.
Right. Yeah, but no, but these kind of churches will never listen to that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll just apply it in any other way, you know. They're not gonna say that's a sign. And if it is, it's not a sign to do something different. It's a sign to keep doing what they're doing, because it's a matter of being comfortable with what they're doing.
Yeah. I think,
you know,
the best preacher...
to get money in front of you. And, I mean, it's not just churches. It's any organization, really. You know, that you start to see green, you know. And that's why it says in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Exactly.
but they've whited out that part.
Yeah. Now, I like to listen to the little street corner, big city preachers that just like to go there and give their sermon. They don't really care about the money.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's all my dad ever did, really.
Like, a lot of these pastors use their power kind of as a dictatorship, if you will. They like having this power, like, I don't know, kind of like a bully, if you will. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I don't really know the dynamics within their church specifically, you know, any given church. I just know the feeling of a church, you know, and I know that everyone that I went to ends up exactly the same way. You know, they either are, you know, gonna have a bunch of money and spend it on Rolls Royces or nowadays big jumbotrons in the middle of their church so they can fit 14,000 people into it. Or, you know, I mean, every person is different. Every person has their own road to travel, you know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get lost.
Yeah, I think that I've got lost on the way here, you know.
But you may be closer than you think. Like,
yeah.
I think it's the people out there going to a church with a jumbotron. Those are the people that are lost.
Yeah, they are. And and they want to look all pretty with their fancy suits and all this and that. But, you know, the thing with me is, like in the Bible, like reading it, it's just hard for me to fathom that somebody was 9 feet tall and lived hundreds of years and, you know, stuff like that. I'm kind of like a realist. I have to have some type of proof to believe. I don't know what it is, man.
I have a slightly different take on that, because I don't really, whether I believe the stories of the Bible don't really mean anything. Just their value is what they are. So it doesn't matter to me whether they're real, because there's plenty that I don't, you know, believe in even right now. Stories that are in the news, for instance, or, you know, scientific data backs up so many things that I don't think really is that legitimate, you know. So I don't really too closely about whether there was really a giant slain by a king.
Yeah. I don't mean to get you all on this religious talk, you know.
That's more of a political theology than anything.
Yeah. So how about I go ahead and get in a song off your album, Drunk on Jesus. How about we do that?
All right.
And how'd you come about this song?
I just started singing it one day when I was playing. Most of my songs get written right on the stage. So I started playing it, and pretty soon I added some things to it, and not a whole lot. It's a pretty repetitive song, I guess.
That's one of my favorite songs on the album. And the funny thing about this song is I got a friend at work that's a pastor. And I remember turning it to, Access TV, where it shows, like, shows from your area. And I'll be damned if my friend didn't come on there at church, because he's a pastor on the side, and he was giving a sermon about being drunk on Jesus. So, let's go ahead and do that song.
Some people like to get drunk on whiskey. Some people like to get drunk on beer. Some people like to smoke marijuana. Some people like to snort cocaine. River, but the
places that you've played at? You play mostly in like taverns and bars, festivals. What?
Small tavern bar. Like in Europe, I might play some bigger ones. You know, some bigger rooms. But even there, it's mostly just little taverns.
Yeah. Now, does it seem like over in Europe that, like a lot of the artists got bigger followings in Europe than they do in the United States? Would you say that's true?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's better over there. And my record is released over there, too. My record isn't even officially released in the U.S.
Really?
It's just me selling it at shows and whatever good stores I can get to buy it off me.
How often do you go across the seas and perform?
One to two times a year.
Okay.
I'm going over there in the fall, I guess September, and I just got back in May, so.
Who do you like doing shows with?
My name is Flask. Showed up at a show in Erie that I didn't even know they were on. They played, and then I got a show with them the next night, last minute, in Pittsburgh, and played in Pittsburgh. So a little two-night run with Larry and Flask.
Now, you just recently did the Muddy Roots Festival. What was your take on that? I think a lot of people wanted to go to it. It's just the timing was off and they didn't get to make it. I think next year will be a lot bigger and better.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, definitely grow. Yeah. Those are hard things to get started, you know, but once they do, they can be really, really successful. And everybody will be wanting to try to get on it.
Now, have you ever played with a band, or you just do everything yourself?
Yeah, I've definitely had instrument people play with me, even as Reverend Dead Eye. I don't really think that I'll do that anymore. I have a band right now called Broken Spirits.
Yeah.
That I play separately, and then I have a lot of other songs that I probably will never release as the Reverend Dead Eye exclusively, you know. But even, you know, the record is not really a completely a one-man band record, you know. They're mostly just songs that I've written, and how I perform them depended on the song.
Right.
So, you know, I had an organ in there. I wasn't playing organ at the same time I was playing guitar, and, you know,
now, do you prefer doing it solo?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting thing right now because, you know, I like being out on the road and being able to do this, and really the only way for me to do this is to be a one-man band. But I don't, you know, it was never really my intention to be a one band, you know. Like in the beginning, I was just doing it because, you know, I wanted to play some music and the band I was in didn't, you know, really see eye to eye on what we were doing, so I just started doing my own thing and I started performing it. It took me a couple years, and then I was, got on the road with it. And then I slowly started adding people to the band. And then as I started adding people, the touring got less and less, you know. I couldn't really tour with all these people.
Right.
I slowly started dropping people and got back basically to where it was just me again. And, you know, if I ever become, wildly successful, you know, I probably would do the one-man band a lot less than I would just tour with musicians and write songs and perform them. You know, I think that's the most important thing for me is the songs. I mean, it's you know, there's a certain amount of enjoyment that people get out of watching me do all of that at one time. But for me, that's just kind of a side note to get it out there.
Right. All right. How about we do another song? What song would you like me to play, Reverend?
Maybe do that. Beginning right there, the first song is the title of a film that I was in as well, a documentary called Can't Take It With You When You Die. They named that song after the, or they named that film after the song.
Okay, let's do it. back. One question I have, Reverend, is how did you get the name Reverend Deadeye?
Well, I was sitting around with my friends one day, and one of my friends said, "Hey, you asshole, calling me Deadeye." And then I thought about it for a little bit, and like, well, you know, might as well accentuate the negative. What positive, I don't know.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Since I'm, always on the brink of destruction / successfulness, whichever way the tide or the wind blows me, that's probably which way I'll go, If I keep going and things are good, and I'll keep going. If I get broke down in a town and I can't go anywhere else, then I'll probably just have to stay there.
Well, if that happened to me, hopefully it'd be someplace big, like Las Vegas or Hollywood or something.
I would hope it'd be somewhere cool, because I wouldn't probably have a place to live. I'd be one of those homeless people.
Yeah. Well, in that case, it'd have to be someplace warm for me.
Yeah, not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So do you have any plans on another album or anything? Or?
I don't have anything per se. I've got some songs written, probably not a full record. But if I go back into my old material that I never released, that I still play a lot of, I probably could easily, I know I could easily release another record, so it just really depends. I'll probably do some recording in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah, see what happens.
Plus touring and doing all these shows, it's probably hard to really just sit down and write a bunch of songs. I mean, you probably gotta get it.
Well, the writing's pretty easy. The writing's pretty easy. Yeah, I mean, I write songs all day long while I'm driving. I'll turn my radio off and I'll just drive. And so as I'm not sleepy, my mind just goes into all kinds of crazy stories and things that I can write about. Of course, then I have to write them down or I forget them all.
Yeah. I come up with all kinds of show material and I don't write it down and I forget it all.
I wrote a song just the other day while I was driving called "I Like Going to Heaven, You Like Going to Hell."
Oh, yeah? How'd you come up with that one?
I don't know. I was just kind of muttering lyrics under my breath, I think. That came out.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we are finished the interview, tell me, growing up, what were some of your favorite artists and musicians?
Well, the records that I had as a kid were all records that my parents had bought. So they were all pretty much gospel records. My grandma and grandpa had a Johnny Cash record that I think wasn't gospel, which is strange because I can't imagine that being the case, but I do know that they had that Johnny Cash record there. They had Frankie and Johnny on the record. And then, but all the records that I listened to that were my parents were like the Lubin Brothers and this record label out of Shreveport, Louisiana. Actually, I don't know if it's out of Shreveport, but a lot of the bands were that I listened to, like the Happy Goodmans and the Hemp Hills, which are all in the Country Gospel Hall of Fame. All of those bands that I listened to all made it into that Gospel Hall of Fame.
Well, before we end this, what's your record label?
Hazelwood Vinyl and Plastics out of Frankfurt, Germany.
how'd you hook up with them good folks?
I was just up there playing shows in Germany, and a friend of mine that I was in one of his films, The Folk Singer.
Yeah.
His film company is called Slowboat Films, and he had contact with those guys, and they were putting out his film. And so he put me in contact with them, and we did a recording session there last year in their studio, and it went well, and so they put it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's nice to be on LP. Watch my name circle around the record player.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that drunk. It might make the room spin quicker than what it really needs to be. All right, so where could folks pick up your the good ear nectar, your music?
Well, in the U.S., you can get I think you can get it like on iTunes and Amazon, or you can go to what is my address? It's rareeyedeye.net, I think, and you can order the LP straight from me, or the CD, or you can get it at the shows.
Okay. All righty, Rev. What song would you like to end the interview with?
How about Let His Children Out of Bondage?
Right on. And how'd you come up with that song?
That is actually a song that is an old gospel number. I just am just playing it kind of like I heard it as a kid.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do that. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be on my show.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here we go.
The Lord's kill was saved in the land. The Lord took Moses by the hand. He said, tell old Pharaoh to set my people free. Well, Moses wanted a way to get out because in his heart he was beginning to doubt. He said, God, old Pharaoh ain't gonna listen to me.
years, I was kind of a shrimp from all the millions of dollars I paid off to market to your radio. It's amazing the endorsements I'm getting. But just giving you a call back, man. I'm going to drink my expensive Colombian coffee and go in there and get my groove going with this Seuss. So I'm going to get a good rundown. And then get my limo to come take me out to the strip club. So give me a call later, man.
Jean Harlow or Marilyn Monroe in love, but hid the deepness way down in her soul. In love, a new man every night. Queen of the rodeo that year, fell in love with the man that filled her pretty head with fear. She would run to her lover.
And that right there was Doug Sam, Honky Fucking Tonkers. God rest his soul. No, Uncle Doug, not the booty hole! We'll be right back.
Lazy gal is a friend of mine. Some say she's smart and shrewd, and all the while she tells herself fun is for the fool.
I always try to be ready.
Was this revolver loaded and cocked?
Well, a gun that's unloaded and cocked ain't good for nothing.
Started off this set with the Staggers, and the song was called Kill the Liver.
which I try to do about every other night. And I know my buddy Chris Miller off Blue Ribbon Radio, if I'm not mistaken, his liver got a restraining order on him. Sure did. Anyways, that song's off their album, Year of the Bastard. Following the Staggers was Emily Bond and the Vivants with Lazy Gal. I don't care how lazy a gal is, as long as she's not lazy between the sheets, and as long as she likes to fuck. You know, you can lay on the couch and watch TV all day and do nothing. But if I want to fuck, you best, I said, you best spread them their legs, gal. We ended the set with the Prairie Belt Boys with Dirty Old Town. I do hope you liked this set. Oh, excuse me, I had to drink a little high gravity lager. Jackhammer, it's called. I got it from the Arab store. That's where you get all the best beers from the Arab owned store. All right, folks, next week on episode 51, I'm going to have on the show Bob Wayne. And Karen will be performing that interview. And I've heard the interview, and it is fucking awesome. Bob Wayne. After you hear this, you'll know the real Bob Wayne. So stay tuned for that episode next week. It might even win me a Pulitzer Prize or a Tony or some shit. Who knows? Well, last night I was with the family, and I went to the Summer Arts Festival where they give you a free show of something or another at the park. And it was Chinese acrobats. I know. Not any fucking cash. What the fuck you doing? Going to watch some Chinese acrobats. Well, first off, motherfuckers, it was free, okay? And second, whatever my wife says, I gotta do. Plain and simple. So, we was at the park watching the Chinese acrobats. And let me tell you this, when them gals, the contortionist girls that got doing their shit that they do, let me tell you this, my cock was harder than Chinese arithmetic, okay? If I wasn't there with my family, I would have pulled my cock out and began stroking that motherfucker right there in that crowded park, watching them bitches contort and all that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Fuck yes. There at the park watching that, there was some real interesting people there. There was a guy there last night whom, you know, might be a cool motherfucker to hang with, right? He was an older man, probably in his 60s, had a real long beard and a bald head. His ears were gauged, and his legs were sleeved from the fucking ankles till as far as the eye could see. But the thing weird about this motherfucker was, it looked like he was wearing a pair of denim panties. You hear me? His shorts were so fucking short. Now, I don't know if he's wanting to show off his tattoos or what. Even if you want to show off your tattoos, you don't fucking wear denim panties. I mean, he looked like Porky Pig, you know what I mean? Not that he was fat, it was that his shirt was longer than his bottom wear. So, you know, every now and then my wife wear a t-shirt with no panties when she's wanting to get her fuck on. That's what that guy looked like. He had on a fucking t-shirt with no panties, pretty much. But, yeah, that was some weird shit. I enjoyed myself at the show. I did. Well, fuck. Got some good shows lined up in the future. After the Bob Wayne interview, I got a interview in the episode following that one. And I got another interview following that one. I won't tell you right yet because I'll make it a surprise. Yeah. But let's go ahead and get in some more music, shall we? I am drinking and I am having fun. My wife's not here and I just beat the hell out of my Peter. That motherfucker's laying on the floor gasping for air. I love internet porn.
When I came home drunk this morning, it was just like I expected. Things were stacked up neatly and some boxes in the hall. She was crying in the corner and I probably should have warned.
Sunburn, especially where you're not covered.
We'll be right back.
It's been 2 months since Patient Zero took a bite of a contaminated burger at a gas and gulp. Just 2 months and I might be the last non-cannibal freak in the country. I may seem like an unlikely survivor with all my phobias and irritable bowel syndrome, but I had the advantage of never having any friends or any close family.
Kind-hearted Christians. We start off this set with the Golden Cadillacs with Man at the Bottom. I am a man at the bottom. A man on the top, a man on the side, man from behind. Whatever you want, bitch. I will be that man. Unless it consists of taking out the trash and cutting the lawn, then fuck you. Following Golden Cadillacs was the Coyote Bill Band with Rockin' with Gigi. I don't know, could that song be about Gigi Allen? It's a possibility. And ending the set was the Driftin' Outlaw Band with 6 Feet. Good band, check them out. Alright, I think that's going to be my show for the evening, folks. I got me a good buzz going, and, you know, my wife's gone for the evening, so I'm going to go watch some Asian porn and a couple zombie flicks and rub one out and go to bed. So, I'm going to end the show tonight with the Give 'Em Hell Boys with Play Hank Williams at My Funeral. So, stay tuned next week for the Bob Wayne interview. Until we meet again, motherfuckers. Woo-hoo! There. I'll keep it nice, short, and sweet, and soft and silent. The way I don't like my women. I'll be lonely. I'm home alone with just some alcoholic beverages. Please don't leave me. If you stay, I'll play you one more song. How about that? Just stay for a little bit. I just want somebody to play with. You know? Just stay here for a little bit and treat me nice. Call Demon Lover. Just don't go yet. I'm not ready to be alone. Please don't leave me. Here's a song I promised.
Get a smile that you can't deny. Show horror, gonna take you for a ride.
my demon lover tonight.
It's where I keep all my things. Get a lot of compliments on this. Plus, it's not a man purse. It's called a satchel. Indiana Jones wears one.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, a world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.